Perek Yud of Daniel. So we get to meet an interesting character in Tanakh. Bishnat Shalosh Likoresh Melech Paras Davar Niglele Daniel Ashinikro Shimo
Yud
Belteshazzar Vemeta Davar Utzvagadol Vina Davar Uvina Lo Bamare. So in the third year of Cyrus, Daniel has another dream. But it was a hard dream to understand. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. Now, Koresh, obviously, please introduce Koresh to us, Zev, since you know Koresh.
Oh yes, he was not Achashverosh's son.
No, who is Koresh?
Oh, he's the person who created the second Beis Hamikdash.
Thank you. Beginning of first four psukim of Ezra. He let the Jews go back.
A Darius let them go.
Correct. Yeah. Meachus. Very good.
Ah, yes.
Very good. Which we read together.
Yes, we did.
Uvishnat achat lekoresh melech paras lechlot dvarah. This is the beginning of Ezra, the first book of Ezra. Our introduction. Uvishnat achat lekoresh melech paras lechlot dvarah. Adonai mipi gir miyah heira. Adonai ruach koresh melech paras ve'aver kol b'machal dovagam v'michtavli. More again. The beginning of Ezra. Chazara. In the first year of Cyrus the Great, God inspired Koresh, and he wrote the following letter. Ko amar Koresh melech paras, kol mamlechot haaretz natan li Adonai elei hashamayim. V'ufakar alai livnot lo bayit v'yushalayim asher b'Yehuda. Right, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, God has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and has charged me with building him a house in Yerushalayim, in Yehuda. Mi v'chem mikol amo yehi Elohavi mo, v'yal Yerushalayim asher b'Yehuda, v'yivene b'ed Adonai elei Yisrael, hu Elohim asher b'Yerushalayim. Anyone who of his people, may God be with you. Let him go up and build Yerushalayim and Yehuda, build the Beit HaMikdash, the house of God. And anyone who doesn't want to go, at least send funds. At least send funds. That was Hatzaret Koresh. Now, what does it say in the actual text that we have from Cyrus, since you mentioned it? What do we have?
He said something about his God.
Yes, it's basically exactly like this, except that he says not Yud Kei Vav Kei, but
Marduk.
Yeah, yeah. Marduk is a Babylonian guy.
He's Babylonian.
Persian.
No, he's Persian.
He's Persian. He's the god of he's the chief Persian god. I actually saw the Cyrus, and I told you I saw the Cyrus cylinder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I went to the British Museum last year, I saw this. I was very excited,
and I saw the Cyrus cylinder. Yeah, Marduk and Ishtar.
Very good. His consort is Ishtar.
Yes.
Very good.
Mordechai.
Very good. Maybe also. Yeah, I mean, that's not surprising. Everyone did that. So that's who we're talking about. Now, there's one other place in Tanakh. What else do we know about Cyrus? Besides the fact that he allows them, though eventually that stops, but he allows them to build the Beit HaMikdash. What else? What?
God, like,
thank you. God chose him. Where do we find out that God chose him?
Okay, give me a second.
Yechezkel.
In?
Yirmiyahu.
In Yeshayahu Perek Mem Daled.
I knew it.
Right, Yeshayahu Perek Mem Daled. Right, what do we find out there?
It's really like a last second like thing. Like, oh, by the way.
Right, he says, HaOmer LeKoresh Ro'i. Right, he predicts that Cyrus will be my shepherd. He will say to Yerushalayim, it shall be rebuilt. Mm-hmm. The temple shall be rebuilt. Ko amar Adonai limishicho. Lekoresh asher zakti v'yimino lirad lefanav goyim madnei melachim afateach leftoach lefanav dilatayim usharim lo yisageru. Hashem said to his anointed one, his Mashiach, Koresh, whose right hand he has grasped, etc. Right,
he said this for political reasons.
What? This is before Cyrus was born.
Right.
Generations before. Now, why does he say he does this? If you skip to Pasuk Gimel? Right, he says, in Pasuk Dalet, Liman Avdi Yaakov, Yisrael b'chiri, v'akra lecha b'shimcha, achancha v'lo yedatani. Right? I'm doing this for the sake of the Jews. Okay, so anyway, so that's who Cyrus is. Okay, that's who Cyrus is. So back to Daniel now. Bayamim ho'heim, in those days, of the third year of that King Cyrus, Bayamim ani Daniel v'iti mitabel shlosha shvu'im, shvu'im yomim. I have been mourning for 6 weeks, for 3 weeks. I had been mourning for 3 weeks. Now, Rashi says, week here means year, as in much of Daniel, where nothing means what it says. I had been mourning for 21 years, 18 years of Dariavesh, and 3 years of the first 3 years of Cyrus.
Oh, so Cyrus is after Dariavesh?
Well, it's not quite clear, but this is how Rashi has his numbers, yes. We really don't know what's going on, because Chazal think there are 3 or 4 kings in Persia, and historically we know of 10. Multiple Cyruses, multiple Dariuses, which all get collapsed. We know of, and multiple Achashveroshes.
Wait, really?
Right? Yes.
They all get collapsed into one person.
In Midrash, yeah. So no one really knows what's going on. Because we have Cyruses and Dariuses and Xerxes and Artaxerxes, yes. And Artaxerxes, more than one of each of those, and Cambyses, and yes. All these people, and trying to figure out, as we've mentioned several times about Daniel, trying to actually figure out what's going on and mapping this on is an absolute and complete nightmare. And nobody really knows what's going on. Like, nobody. We have no idea what's going on. But anyways, Rashi says that this has been 21 years. That he has been mourning. Now, what leads him to this?
Mourning for the Israel to be redeemed again.
So basically, right? This is part of Chazal's sort of calculus, but he's been fasting for 21 years, waiting for the Beit HaMikdash to be. Built, essentially. Now, why is he still mourning in the third year of Cyrus if the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt? And the answer is, as we know...
People didn't come.
No. Yes, and not only people didn't come, but what else happens?
They stop.
They stop because of the locals.
Yes.
Right? The locals tell on them, it gets paused. Mm-hmm. Not really clear which king pauses it, but it could be Cyrus.
Okay.
And then it starts again under...
Under
Darius. Under Darius, or under Darius. So it could be that this was, it had started, but it hadn't been finished, or it started and it was already stopped, or it's not really clear what is going on in that calculus. But that seems to be the reason that he is mourning.
What was the thing with the locals?
What?
What was the thing with the locals?
Oh, yeah. So you find this out in Ezra, is that the locals get into a fight with the Jews because they have been worshipping the God of Israel. And so they want to be part of building the Beit HaMikdash. And the Jews say to them, do you remember that amazing pasuk?
No, but that they just ended up there. I don't remember what the pasuk was.
Oh, come on. It was a beautiful pasuk. Come on. Remember how cynical of a pasuk it was? It was great, and it was the perfect thing to make them really, really angry at them.
Sure, I'm going to be like, of course, that was a great pasuk.
Should I find it?
What? It says...
Now we all look for it.
It's, Lo lachem vilanu livnot bayit leilokeinu. It's not for you and us to build it. Ki anachnu yachad, us together, meaning
right.
Yachad is together, but not you and us, meaning us together, right?
Like not you, but us.
Us all together,
yeah.
Right?
Just us.
Lo lachem v'lanu, just anachnu kulam biyachad,
right.
All of us together. The only people who count.
And not implying them, implying only themselves.
Correct.
Okay.
It's not you and us. It's all of us. All of us.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's a very... And this makes for a fight,
right.
So they tell on them that they're rebelling, and...
Didn't someone make a song out of that? And like a very happy song?
On this one? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I hope no one made a song of Lolochem Lanu Livnot Bayit Leilokeinu.
Right.
That's a really, really odd...
I can see it.
Really odd.
I can see it, though. Like... like the Jewish singer, like singing the words.
Yeah. That and the you know, I told you my new one, right? The one that I was listening to, Shirbar Leibowitz, where it's on Adam Avashamayim. Oh, yeah. You know, right? You know that song? It was like. Oh, it's a translation of a Wiccan idol chant. Mila Bimila. Anyways, yes. And same tune. Yes. Same tune. I'll send you the original, and then you can see what it is. Yes. Mayer has no idea who the Wiccans are, but he's like, they started singing, and I was like, you probably shouldn't sing it. And Mayer's like, oh, right, it's from the Wiccans, because he overheard me talking about it. I'm like, yeah, okay. Anyways, it could also be, right, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Gimel says that that Koresh was a good king, but dealing with some stirot Rabbi Yitzchak in the Gemara says that he turned against the Jews. And so there's a situation before he turned against the Jews and after he turned against the Jews. So it could be that he's actually the king that stopped that he's the one who started it and the one who stopped it after.
It's very quick. It was only been 3 years since he started becoming king.
Okay, but as soon as they get there, they get into the fight with the locals.
Right.
So it could be that that's why Daniel is mourning at this point. Mm-hmm. Right, because again, otherwise, why is he mourning now? The Beit HaMikdash is being rebuilt. It's a little bit weird. So figuring out the chronology of what's going on is a little bit odd. So maybe that's what's going on. Again, it's Machlokes Mefarshim, which king it was who actually stopped building the Beit HaMikdash. But it could be that it's already Koresh, and that's how you explain why Daniel is in mourning. And this is indeed what the Ibn Ezra says. Right, that the Ibn Ezra says it was Koresh who stopped the building. The question is, other possibilities are that it was Ahasuerus. Sorry, I take it back. Ibn Ezra says it's Ahasuerus, not Koresh. He thinks it's Ahasuerus and Vashti who stopped the building of the Beit HaMikdash. But it could be that it's Koresh. Who knows? But Rashi is the one who thinks that it is Koresh himself, and that's how you get, basically, to this mourning, even during the period of Koresh, because Koresh had good times and bad times. Okay, so that is just Pasuk Aleph and Bet of Daniel. Good, so now we continue. Lechem chamudot lo achalti uvasar v'yayin lo va'elpi v'soch lo sachtim lo tshloshet shavuot yamim. For 3 weeks I ate no food, no tasty food, nor wine. I didn't anoint myself for 3 weeks. Now, by the way, what is this the source for in Chazal?
The morning practices.
On? On Yom Kippur. Right? When the Gemara goes through, this is a Gemara in Yoma, the Gemara in Ayin Vav Amud Beis derives from Daniel all of these things, right? So, for example, Achalti, right? Rechitza v'sicha minalan de'ikra inui. How do you know that not washing and not anointing is considered inui? Dechtiv lechem chamudot lo achalti uvasar yayin lo ba'elpi v'soch lo sachti, etc. My lechem chamudot lo achalti amar v'divrei r'shela afilu nama dechite dechaita lo achal, etc. So the morning practices, the paradigmatic ones of Yom Kippur, or these inuyim really, are taken from Daniel.
These aren't mourning practices, just generally.
These aren't. It's not mourning. It's inuyim. It's afflictions, right, from Yom Kippur. This fast and this, you know, tshuva e mourning e fast of Daniel becomes paradigmatic for Chazal. Again, you can read it. It goes on and on in the Gemara, in Yoma. So what day? V'yom esrim v'arba l'chodesh harishon v'ani hayiti al yada nahar ha'gadol u'chidekel. So on the 24th day of the first month, meaning of Nisan, I was on the banks of the Tigris. Chidekel. Now, there's a lot of things that are weird here. So first of all, according to Rashi, that he was fasting for 21 years, okay, whatever, right? But according to the pshat, that he's fasting for 21 days, that means he fasts over Pesach. That's how bad things are right now. He's fasting over Pesach, which is, according to the 24th day of Nisan, he's been fasting for 3 weeks. This is very simple mathematics. Right?
This is true.
This is extremely simple mathematics.
astonishing.
Hey, you know, it never hit me. I have to tell Mayer. This is his birthday.
Oh, yeah?
The day of Daniel's Nevuah is the day he was born, 24th of Nisan. He'll appreciate that. I never really put that together, but there you go.
Nice.
So Daniel, Daniel prophesies against this prophecy on the 24th day of Nisan. Now, what is important about this? So a lot, because we know a lot about the 24th, and this is something Rav Meidan points out. The 24th day of the month, for some reason, in Bayacheni, is like the day of the month that you get Nevuot. It's just when anything happens. And if you want proof, so if you remember our late night Mishmar, we went through all of Sefer Chagai.
Yes.
So, Perek Aleph of Chagai. Right. What?
It wasn't that long.
It's not that long. And yet everything happens there.
Ah, right.
Right? Because the first time you have one Nevuah of Chagai, where Hashem tells Chagai, I'm with you, and I've stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel, Ben Shaltiel, and what did he say this?
On the 24th.
On the 24th day of Elul, in the second year of Daryavish. And then in Perek Bet, you get two prophecies, both on, remember, the 24th of Kislev. Remember? So, twice, you get this. And you get it in Zechariah, that the Nevuah that comes to Zechariah is on the 24th day of Adar. He's the same time period. And in Nehemiah, in the 9th parak, you find out that the Jews are fasting with sackcloth on the 24th day of the month. Right? So the 24th, for some reason, is when everything happens. Not clear why. It just is. Rav Meidan suggests that maybe this was traditional because it gave you a week before Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is traditionally a day of tshuva, like a mini day of tshuva, and therefore maybe all these things always happen with a week, right? Basically, the beginning of the week leading up to Rosh Chodesh, so that you can sort of, it can always be part of a process leading to some sort of transformation on Rosh Chodesh, or something along those lines. And he notes that there's a minhag nowadays called Yom Kippur Katan, or that people will fast or it's a special tefillot on Erev Rosh Chodesh. I think they do fast because of this. So he suggests that's maybe what all of these are about.
Shouldn't be the day after Rosh Chodesh.
It's the day before. I don't, whatever it is.
Mirroring Rosh Hashanah.
What?
You're like mirroring Rosh Hashanah. It's really
Now the Gemara in Tainus also proves from Daniel that his tefillot, that your tefillot start to be accepted from when you begin deciding to fast. That's also a Gemara in Tainus. But anyway, so that's where we are in Daniel. Okay. So va'asayinai va'era v'hinei ishechad lavush badim v'adav chagurim beketem ufa. So I looked up and I see a man dressed in linen with his loins in fine gold. Ugviato kitarshish, ufanav kemare farak, ve'enav kilapide esh, uzrotav margalotav ke enechoshet kalal, the cold varav kol habon. His body, JBS translates like barrel, I don't know exactly what that is, some sort of, what do they translate it as here?
Tarshish.
What do they translate it as? Tarshish? Some sort of marble or something, I'm not really sure. His face is the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and legs had the color of burnished bronze, and the sound of his speech was like the noise of a multitude. Okay, this is a very impressive something figure, some sort of angel. I don't know. V'ra'iti ani Daniel levadir amarev anashim ashayu imi lo ra'u et amarev al charadag dola nafla lehem v'ivrchu be'chavei. I saw it, and everyone else panicked, right? They sensed the vision, but they complain it, and they run away in terror.
That he saw it.
No, they sense it. Like he said, I was the only one to see it, but everybody around me sensed this vision.
Oh, he's awake. He's awake.
Not
in the dream, everyone runs away.
No, not in the dream. Like, but something
around him that are awake when he's asleep.
Maybe those are the only two options. Other he's asleep.
Yeah, not really clear. Now, the Midrash identifies this as Hanania, Mishael, v'Azariah, and it's not clear why. Maybe this is before they become prophets. No one really knows. This is right. Rav Meidan notes that you have the same thing by Bilam's donkey. Right? It doesn't say right that Bilam. right? It just sort of recoils. It's not clear how much it sees, as much as it knows there's an angel or something like that. You get this in Eov. You get this in Eov as well, that Eliphaz feels a spirit passing over his face, which causes his hair to stand on end. But he couldn't really see anything. Eventually he sees some sort of... So there is this type, some sort of... you know, and he says, you get different things. This could be, he suggests what happened to Yaakov in the middle of the night when he panics and just moves his whole family around. Could be because the angel had come down. So there was some revelation, he didn't quite know what. But the panic is already in the air, right? It could be that that's what's going on. So I was alone to see the great vision, but I was drained of strength, my vigor destroyed, I could not sum it up strength. I heard him speaking, and I was overcome by a deep sleep. Right, so apparently this vision was when he was sort of awake, or it was anticipation of him then falling asleep into a dream-like vision.
Or maybe he fell asleep in his dream.
Or who knows? Something like that. I don't really know. And a hand touched me and shook me onto my hands and knees. Now again, here's where you start to get, you know, this is sort of in the dream. This is some sort of vision in and out of dream-like state, unclear exactly what's going on, or inception, right? Like, there's multiple levels of dreams, I don't really know. Right? How many levels down you are, I don't know, but sometimes that makes you understand Daniel, right? You're four levels down, right? So the whole world is chaos. Okay, great.
The whole book's a dream.
What?
The whole book is a dream, I think.
Yeah, okay. Vayomer Eli Daniel Ish Chamudot. So he said to him, Ish Chamudot, which is a beautiful... beautiful phrase, especially since... Did you catch the beautiful little pun here? Not pun, the wordplay here? He didn't eat lechem chamudot. He said, I didn't eat good bread. Right? So now part of his tshuva on that fasting makes him chamudot, right? It's, you are beloved, right? That's clearly the imagery here, is that you fast and do tshuva, and that's what makes you my beloved. So, vayom elai Daniel ish chamudot, havein b'dorim asher anochi dover elecha. Please understand what I'm about to tell you. V'amor al amdecha. Please stand up. Yata shulachti elecha. I have been sent to you. Uvidabri ima ora davar hazeh amati marid. So I stood up, trembling. Vayomer elai al tira Daniel. Don't worry. Ki min hayom harishon asher natata libcha lavin l'tanot. From the first day when you started fasting, and that is... where the Gemara in Tanis gets it. That from when you decide to fast, the beginning of that process, that's when we start listening to you. Right? And Rabbi Zera takes this l'halacha, right? That at some point there was a decree that you weren't allowed to fast, so Rabbi Zera had said, let's make a let us nikable ilavein. Let us make a decree, let us accept that we will fast. Because you learn from Daniel that the acceptance to fast is what already makes it that your tefillah is accepted. From that day, your prayer was accepted, so I have now come because of your prayer. So he says, very good, then why haven't you showed up yet? Good question. Because, as usual, because this wasn't weird enough. V'sar malchut faras omed l'negdi 21 yom. Because the prince, the angel of the Persian kingdom, has been fighting me for 3 weeks, so I couldn't make it here.
Of course.
V'nei Michael achar asr mishonim bo la'azreini v'nater tisham eitzom achei faras. But I got help from Michael, the angel, who came to my aid. After I was detained by the king of Pras, right? Chazal assume this is Gavriel speaking, right? And so, you know, angels fighting. I was fighting that angel, and so Michael came to my rescue.
Is it possible he's describing the fact that Pras, like, wasn't letting...
Yeah, we'll get to what this means in a minute, right? What symbolically this means. Uvati lehavincha et asher yikra la'amcha b'achirei ha'amim ki od chazon le'amim. So now, I finally, Michael, you know, is taking care of the Persian angel. So I've come to explain what will happen to the Jews in the end of time, because as we've seen... What?
Persian angel?
It's the angel of Persia. That's what the Tsar is. Right? These are angels. Right? Michael is clearly an angel. An angel of the first rank. mind you.
Of course.
Uvidabri imi kadvarim ha'ilan dati fanai artsa v'nei alamti. And Daniel said, I stood there and I looked down at the ground and I stayed quiet. Right? Right, Daniel's just like, I don't know what's going on, right? I'm terrified. I want to be on the floor sleeping. See this in a vision? No, I have to stand up. So I looked down quietly, looked at my toes, and I said nothing. Right? It's great imagery in Daniel. Vine, kidmut vine adam naga al svatai veftach pi, v'adabra v'amra lo me lenegdi adoni b'marev nefchut sire alai v'latzarti koach. So he, this one who looked like a man, touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and said to him, because of this vision, right, this is in the vision, or whatever, he's saying, I have been seized with pangs, I cannot summon my strength, so I can't talk. V'heich uchal ever adoni ze l'daberim adoni ze, v'ni me'ata lo yamod bikoch n'shama lo nishar avi, so how can I talk, because I've lost my strength, I have no spirit left.
But he's talking right now.
Yes.
No.
But Yosef, so he touched me again and gave me strength.
No, he's saved.
Yeah, now you get this. Right, now you get this imagery, by the way, in. You get this imagery as well in Yechezkel. Sorry, in Yeshayahu. Right, in Yeshayahu. Right, that God has the angel touch his mouth to allow him to talk. Now there he's purifying his mouth. Speak. Right, he's putting the coal on his mouth, which is, by the way, where the Midrash comes from.
Of Moshe
comes from a pasuk in Yeshayahu about Yeshayahu. But this notion of the angel touching, giving you strength, Vayomer Al Tira Ish Chamudot Shalom Lach Chazak Chazak Uvidabri Imo Et Chazak Divamra Yidaber Adonai Ki Chizaktani. So he said, "Don't fear. All will be good. Be strong." And as he spoke, I was strengthened. So I said, "Ah, you've given me strength. Talk to me." Vayomer, Hayadata lama bati elecha. He said, "Do you know why I am here?" Batashu lelachem himself for us when he yotzei v'nei shar yavanba. He said, "Do you know why I've come? By the way, I got to leave because I got to go fight the continue fighting the prince of Persia, the angel of Persia. And as soon as I leave, the prince of Greece is coming." Aval agid lecha. But no one is helping me, by the way, except for Michael, your prince, which is where we get the notion that Michael is the Malach that represents the Jews. Right? Your prince, Michael, is coming. So this is the end of the perek. It's not actually the end of the vision. The end of the vision keeps... This actually goes on to the next perek. It's a two-prak and one. We're not going to do it all this week. Wow. Let's just try to wrap up this perek. So what exactly does he tell him? So again, this is what we've seen over and over, that this seems to be, whatever exactly is going on, is this is the, he's predicting, and the whole vision is about the end of the Persian dynasty. Now, what is going on, we don't know, because as I said, the ten kings, right, Chazal have three kings that we know of ten, but what we do know is that post-Persia, Greece rises. That we know, right? Alexander is the one who conquers Persia. So that basic, fundamental, historical fact that is happening is true.
Athens defeat Xerxes.
What? Well, there's up and down, but eventually Alexander... So again, in Perek Yud Aleph, we'll see some of the more details, but the basic notion that he's coming to tell him, as he has many times, the future and the fall of dynasties and the fall of kingdoms, that's what's going on. Again, which kings are we talking about in the next Perek? It's not totally clear, but we're going to have to see that next week, because in Perek Yud Aleph, we're going to get into the content of this, and there it's going to get extremely detailed in terms of how many kings there are, and Daniel has this very detailed predictive thing of this many kings are going to fight this many kings, and this generation is going to go back and forth, which basically lines up with everything we know about Greek history. But that's what we're going to get to. But where we are, where we stand at this point is that he's basically coming to tell him there is hope, because despite the fact that right now there seems to have been a freeze in the Persian permission of the Beit HaMikdash, or whatever you want to understand, right? Persia is not forever. Greece will come, and eventually, right? Greece will rise and fall, and eventually, the Jews, just like every other time throughout Sefer Daniel. But that's where we stand in the middle of this prophecy. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Cool. All right.
We'll continue with Yud Aleph.
Nice.